the really kindly got me was it said that when whiskey drove me to my knees, I didn't find Jesus, he found me. And, you know, I begin to think about that, and a lot of people today have a question about why did Jesus come to earth? Now, most people believe and know what Christians believe about Jesus, but why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Jesus come into this world? Why did he be born today? And you know, there's a lot of different answers that have been given through the years. A lot of people say that he came to give us an example of God and God's love. And many people say that he was the world's greatest teacher. And some say he was a reformist rabbi to come to awaken Israel. And many other questions and answers have been given through the years. But the scripture today and in our text this morning, we find that our Lord answers that question in terms that a little child could understand. Always like the simplicity of the answers that we find in the scripture. Sometimes we think the scriptures are so complicated, but most of the time it's us trying to complicate them. Because here Jesus simply says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Many years ago, there was a preacher in England by the name of Joseph Parker. He and Charles Spurgeon were contemporary pastors at the same time. And Joseph Parker was a great speaker, a great preacher. And many years ago, someone gave me a little book of sermon outlines that he had given on great verses of the Bible. And this morning, I could not tell you where the book is, but one outline that he gave that's always stuck in my mind. I don't know of anything else that he said about it, but on this particular verse, he gave an outline that kindly stuck in my mind down through the years. And this morning, I wanted to share a few simple thoughts that we find here in this verse about why Jesus came. And to be honest with you today, I would title the message, "I Didn't Find Jesus, He Found Me." And Dr. Parker said this was the world's most majestic historical fact. The Son of Man came. You see, Jesus has come to earth. The Almighty has entered into our world this morning. The infinite has become the finite today. The eternal God has invaded and came into our time. If you study theology, they call this the incarnation. God coming to this earth in human flesh. The Bible simply says this morning that Emmanuel, God with us today. You see, the birth of Jesus Christ was different than anybody else's birth. He was born, of course, of a virgin, but you know, he came in obedience to the Father's will. Many times, and that cannot be said of us today. Our birth was not of our choice. It was not of our will this morning. Many times I read in obituaries in the newspaper, and when someone dies, they'll say they were born in so-and-so to so-and-so. And you know, today, if you were to write your obituary, you would probably write something along the same lines. I was born this morning, and when I was born, I had no choice in the matter. I was born because my parents made a choice. You were born because your parents made a choice. But Jesus came according to the plan of God. This was God's plan for humanity. He announced it over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. And in Galatians chapter number 4, he there tells us that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made under the law and born of a woman, made under the law. You see, Jesus came today not by chance. It wasn't just chance that Jesus came into this world. But he came because every detail down through the years had been planned. You can read from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation in the scripture today. And you'll find those minute prophecies that God made about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find that the town in which he was to be born is prophesied and detailed in the scripture. You can find this morning in Isaiah 55 much of the preview and the review of his life. All through the scripture today, God tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ. And he came today not by chance. He came this morning because God had a plan for humanity this morning. You see, he came from the glory, the splendor of glory, to the darkness of sin in this world. He came this morning from a great place and great in glory to the squalor of this world. He came this morning from the Father to an ungrateful world. He came this morning from purity to become sin for us this morning. He came. He came. But not just any person. The Bible said the Son of Man has come. You see, God didn't send an angel this morning. He didn't send any other created being. He didn't run out and create a new being this morning. But the Bible says the Son of Man came. That simply signifies the humanity of Jesus Christ this morning. God came to this world through a virgin's womb to become our Savior, our sacrifice, and our salvation. You see, he was the Son of God before he could become the Son of Man. He was all God, yet he was all man. He was the God-man. Somebody said, I don't totally understand that. I don't know that anybody does. I can simply tell you this morning that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. He was man enough this morning to become thirsty. He was man enough this morning to be hungry. He was man enough this morning to get tired and weary and need to sleep. But he was God enough this morning to be able to give sight back to the blind and speech back to the mute, hearing back to the deaf, to raise even the dead and give them back to their loved ones this morning. He was God enough to be tired and weary, as I said, and lay down in the back of a boat to sleep. Yet God enough, when his disciples awoke him and were afraid they were going to perish in the storm, to stand and say, peace be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him. This morning we need to understand the great historical fact of all of history today is that Jesus Christ has come into this world. And this morning that he was God in the flesh and that God came into his own creation this morning in the person of Jesus Christ. That's a great and very magnificent historical fact that we should never lose sight of this morning, that the Son of Man has come. But there's a spiritually significant mission that God speaks about here in our text this morning. When he came, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save. He came to seek and to save this morning. You see, Jesus didn't come looking for something. Jesus came looking for someone. Who did Jesus come looking for? Us. Very simply, this morning he came looking for you and for me this morning. He came, the Bible said, seeking. What does it mean when you are seeking? What does it mean when Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost this morning? Well, if you're seeking something, you're diligently looking this morning. You are diligently looking for whatever it is this morning. I mean, you have a great desire to find that thing that you're looking for. In the book of Luke, chapter number 15, Jesus there spoke of a lady who had lost a silver coin. And she was diligently, she was earnestly, she was seeking that lost coin that she might get it back again. This morning, when you're diligently seeking something, you're looking for it and giving it everything that you can give this morning. Jesus in Luke 15 also talked about a shepherd who had one lost sheep who had wandered from the fold and was out hungry and cold, and the shepherd left the 99 to go and find that one lost sheep this morning. Jesus Christ came diligently looking and seeking and desiring this morning that he might find you and I. He came looking for us. We find today that in our text that Jesus here is speaking, of course, to a man by the name of Zacchaeus, a man who had climbed up a sycamore tree that he might see when Jesus passed by, because he was a very small man, a very short man. And he wanted a great view and to see this man who people had been talking about. And so he climbed up this tree, and that's where Jesus found him. As a matter of fact, he said that for him to come down from the tree. You see, Jesus today was looking and seeking Zacchaeus this morning when he passed by, and Zacchaeus was up in the sycamore tree. He came seeking a Samaritan woman when he sat down on a well curb. He came this morning seeking those who were caught in sin. A woman taken in adultery was brought to him in John chapter number 8. We find this morning he came looking for the blind and the beggars and the lepers and those who were wildly and demonly possessed this morning. He came seeking those religious Pharisees who even thought they did not need him, yet he was seeking them also today. Every occupation, from tax collector, fisherman, physician, prostitutes and wine bibbers this morning, we find that Jesus Christ came looking and seeking and diligently looking for them. As a matter of fact, this morning he came looking this morning for even those who crucified him. The Bible says that as they crucified him and as they were standing up the cross, that he cried out unto the Father, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." Praying for the very ones who had beaten him, praying for the very ones who had plucked out his beard, praying for those who had planted a crown of thorns upon his head, praying for those who had driven the nails in his hands and his feet, praying for those who had beat him to a pulp with a cat of nine tails. This morning he was praying and still seeking and looking for those who were lost. Even those two thieves who this morning deserved the fate that they had arrived at, this morning he was seeking even those. And this morning he's still seeking individuals, and he's still looking this morning, and he's still desiring that men this morning would come to him. He's still seeking this morning to save. He came to seek and to save. You see, that's what he was looking for. That's what he's wanting to do even in this world this morning. He came seeking me. I'm glad that he did. I'm glad one day he knocked on my door. I'm glad this morning that he sought you and he knocked on your door this morning. But you know, he's still seeking even today. He's still seeking this morning, and he's still saving. We live in a day and age when many times we're preached to about how to be a good father, or we're preached to how to be a good mother, or we're preached to about how to have financial success, and all of the things this morning that we could talk about. But the most important thing that I could ever tell any individual this morning is that Jesus Christ is seeking individuals this morning that he might save their eternal souls, that he might this morning pay the debt that they owe unto God, and that this morning they might endure, they might enter the pearly gates of glory and walk upon the street of gold and there be with God for all of eternity this morning. That's the reason that Jesus came into this world. He didn't come to make me healthy. He didn't come to make me wealthy. He didn't come this morning to make me good looking. He didn't come this morning to do all of these other things for me. He came first and foremost of all this morning to seek and to save that which was lost. When you're sought and you're lost this morning, you see, Jesus Christ this morning, that's his mission in this world. Dr. Harry Ironside, a preacher of many years ago, was one time preaching, and a man got up and gave his testimony. And he told how that God had brought him and all the things that he had been through, and how that one day Jesus came and saved him. After the service, a man came to him and he said, "Young man, you left something out of your testimony." And he said, "What's that?" Dr. Ironside said, "I was listening very intently to see what would be said." And he said, the older man told him, he said, "Well, you left out your part in your salvation." And he said, the young man scratched his head for a minute and he said, "Well, I don't rightly know about any much about that." And he said, "But all I can tell you is I done the sinning and God done the saving." Jesus came to seek and to save. You think about Jesus seeking today. I mean, it would be one thing if the Bible simply said the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. That would be wonderful this morning if this morning we had to find out all about it and we had to depend upon all this other things. But we don't have to. Because you see, not only did he come to save us, he seeks us out to do it this morning. He comes and he asks and he pleads and he begs and he beseeches us this morning. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And here's the perfect description of humanity. That which was lost. We've gotten away from that very simple word this morning, lost, haven't we? You find this morning that people want to talk about those who have gone astray, those who are estranged from God, and many other descriptive words today, but the Bible simply says lost. Lost. I think that's the greatest and best word that could ever describe humanity this morning. It's without hope. It's wandering and this morning, not knowing where you're going or what's going to happen, and you have no hope for the future. You read the Bible this morning and you begin to read in the book of Genesis, and as you read down through the scripture today, and then you begin to read the daily newspaper, and you read this morning and you see all that are happening in our world today, and I think you'll have to agree with what Jesus said here when he said he came to seek and to save that which was lost, because men this morning are lost without God. We're seeing a people this morning who are wandering today without any kind of hope for tomorrow. Because when you're lost without God, you're lost without hope, and you're lost in a tangled web of sin, and you're lost and trapped forever. But Jesus came to become our hope, our light, our salvation, and our Savior. He came to seek and to save. And because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save this morning, because he says here that that was his mission that he came into this world to do, we find that this morning, our responsibility then is enormous. You see, Jesus is seeking God's love and God's mercy and God's kindness is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Everything that we need today is wrapped up in the Savior, Jesus, today. You hear about Him. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You see, Jesus, as a God-man, is not walking the earth as He did in the days of the Gospels. But this morning He said in John chapter 16 that when He went away, the Holy Spirit would come. And the Holy Spirit would come and begin to do the work that Jesus did. And when the gospel is preached and the word of God goes forth and the story of Jesus is told, when we this morning look at the Word of God and we see that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, was crucified for the sins of the world and paid the sin debt for all of humanity this morning, and the Holy Spirit takes that Word and begins to go and to knock on people's door. You see, I can't go home with you. I can't go to work with you tomorrow. I can't this morning spend the night with you, but the Holy Spirit can. And the Holy Spirit will be there and He'll be seeking and knocking on your door this morning that you might come to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. That's God seeking you even in this hour this morning. And our responsibility is enormous, because this morning when God sent His Son to be our Savior, when He crucified Him upon the cross of Calvary, when this morning He brought Him out of the grave on the third day and resurrected Him from the dead to give us hope for all of eternity this morning, and then the Holy Spirit came back into this world and God sent His Word today and He speaks and preaches the Word of God and preached the cross this morning, and Jesus Christ this morning invites you to be saved through the person of the Holy Spirit. Your responsibility now is enormous. You see, there's no excuse. The Savior's come. The blood has been shed. And salvation is now offered. There's no excuse. What excuse can you have when you stand before a holy God? What excuse can people say when they stand before a holy God and say, "Why do I have to spend eternity separated from You in the eternal charred halls of the damned?" And God says, there's no excuse. I sent My Son. I sent that My Word. I sent My Spirit. I did everything I could. And you now have no excuse. And you see, the worst and the vilest can be saved. Jesus Christ has the power to save anybody. And He's seeking at this very moment throughout our world, looking for those this morning who would be saved. Out in Texas, many years ago, there was a man by the name of Freddie Gage. Freddie Gage was a very mean person. And there was a man in the neighborhood. And when he walked, he would shake and he was nearly rattled, and you could hear him coming. And Freddie Gage began to mock him and call him Rattling Harry Bones. And he'd laugh, and him and his buddies would make fun of the old man as they passed by. And one day a elderly lady come by and she heard him mocking and making fun of Rattling Harry Bones. And she stopped and she looked at him and she pointed her finger at him and she said, "Young man, I'm going to tell you something." She said, "When you were just a baby, your mama had you down at the river and said the wheelchair slipped out of her hand and said it went out into the icy water and said a man dove into that water, rescued you and brought you back to your mama and saved your life. Said because of the cold temperatures, he suffered a terrible disease. He rattles when he walks. That's the man that saved you right there, and you're making fun of him. Without him, you'd be dead. Let me tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's one thing to make fun of somebody that might save your life and to reject that individual. What about the person that saved your soul? Jesus Christ this morning is seeking and saving that which was lost. You see, I didn't find Jesus. He found me. I'm glad he did. Has he found you this morning? All right, so stand together with me. Bruce B. Barber, you come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name we pray. Amen.